The epistle for the Feast of Pentecost is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. When the days of Pentecost were drawing to a close, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a violent wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as a fire, which settled upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in foreign tongues, even as the Holy Spirit prompted them to speak. Now, there were staying at Jerusalem devout Jews from every nation under heaven. And when this sound was heard, the multitude gathered and were bewildered in mind, because each heard them speaking in his own language. But they were all amazed and marveled, saying, "Behold, are not all these that are speaking Galileans? And how have we each heard his own language in which he was born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, the visitors from Rome, Jews also, and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we have heard them speaking in our own languages of the wonderful works of God." And the gospel is taken from that according to St. John. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while yet dwelling with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your mind whatever I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled or be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I go away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would indeed rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it has come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the Prince of the world is coming, and in me he has nothing. But he comes, that the world may know that I love the Father, and that I do as the Father has commanded me." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. 50 days after the Israelites were freed from bondage to the Egyptians, they found themselves at the foot of Mount Sinai. And this is a prefigurement for us of the feast we celebrate today, of Pentecost. And it's always interesting for us, and it's always helpful for us to remember, to remind ourselves of these prefigurements as they associate with then the fulfillment in the New Testament. And so the Israelites found themselves at the foot of Mount Sinai 50 days after they had left the bondage of Egypt. God had told Moses to prepare them and to purify them. Moses had made a line, a boundary line, at the base of Mount Sinai, where if anyone was to cross over that line, they were to be killed. And then on the 50th day, there was thunder, flashes of lightning, a very thick cloud descended upon Mount Sinai, and there was a shrill sound of trumpets growing louder and louder and louder. And so Moses led the people out of their tents up to the base, up to the foot of the mountain. And then they heard the voice of God. And God gave to them the Ten Commandments. As he gave these commandments to the people, they turned to Moses and they implored him. They said, "You speak to God. Do not let the Lord speak to us, for we will surely die." They were filled with terror. They were filled with awe. And they were filled with humility. Today we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, which is 50 days after Easter. We think about what we heard in the epistle today, of how there was a wind, the sound of a wind, and a lot of noise filled the house, and then how the Holy Ghost descended upon them as it was in tongues of fire, and that they received the Holy Spirit, and there was awe. They had great fervor, and every one of them had great humility. Every one of those 120 or so apostles, disciples, and the Blessed Virgin Mary who were present there in the upper room had a great awe for the majesty of God. This was just like on Mount Sinai, where the billowing smoke, the clouds, the thunder, the lightning showed the majesty of God. And so too today, when we see the Feast of Pentecost, we consider how the majesty of God was on display when he came down and descended upon the apostles in that upper room. Christ perfectly fulfills this prefigurement from the Old Testament. It's a prefigurement insofar as it is a covenant which God is giving to his people. And again today, there's a covenant which God is fulfilling with his people. The Passover lamb was slaughtered on the day of the Passover, the 50 days prior to God giving the Ten Commandments to the people. Christ, our Paschal lamb, was slaughtered 50 days before the Holy Ghost descended upon us, descended upon those in the upper room. And so this is an accomplishment of, this is the completion of this prefigurement. This is the birthday of the church, as we say. The church had laid dormant, in a certain sense, up until now. Its visible head, St. Peter, sat in the upper room, timid, scared, silent, and with him all of the other disciples. Christ had left them with the promise of hope, which they had remembered when he said, "I will ask the Father, and he will send you the Comforter." But this had not yet come until today. And if we were to consider the difference between the church prior to today and after the descent of the Holy Ghost, it would be as if it would be like a soul without a body without a soul. A body which is just a corpse, lifeless, motionless. But when the Holy Ghost descended upon the apostles, it was as if the soul entered into the body of the church. The church became vivified and it became animated. And what happened to wrap up, in a way, this covenant which God had made with his people when he gave them the Ten Commandments? He told Moses to make a sacrifice. So Moses slaughtered calves, and he took the half of the blood of the calves and he poured it on the altars. And then he took the other half of the blood and he sprinkled all of the people with it. And this was a confirmation of the covenant that God had made with his people when he said to them, "I will be your God, and you will be my people if you keep my commandments." And so they said yes to this covenant. They were sprinkled with the blood as a seal, as a sign, as a confirmation of the promises that each party had made to the other. If we think about the words of consecration that occur in the Mass, there is a New Testament which is referred to, a new and an everlasting testament. The chalice which is consecrated at Mass, the precious blood of our Lord, this is the seal of a new covenant which God has made with man. St. Augustine says that this Feast of Pentecost isn't just about remembering gifts from the past. We aren't supposed to think of only that first Pentecost upon which the Holy Ghost descended on the apostles, the Blessed Virgin, the disciples. St. Augustine is telling us that God has great gifts that he wants to give to each one of us today as well. Think about the reality of the sign, the reality of the confirmation of the covenant. What was it? It was the blood of Christ, which was shed on Calvary. It's the exact same. Sign, which is going to be made present here today. And in the same way, it is the exact same graces which God wants to give to us today. This isn't something from in the past, which we're commemorating today. This is a real thing. There are real graces which God desires to give to us. And we can see this by the fact that it is the very same blood which is going to be shed, which is going to be poured out upon the altar, which we will take into ourselves if we are able to receive Holy Communion today. This is a reality, as St. Augustine says, which is not something from the past. This is something which continues every day up to today. In the Old Testament, going back to Moses, our Lord spoke to Moses. He told Moses to warn the people that the Lord is a consuming fire, Moses said. The Lord is a consuming fire, and he is a jealous God. So do not disobey him. He's a consuming fire. He also says that all of the land shall be destroyed by the fire of his jealousy if you are unfaithful to your promise to him. If you are unfaithful to this covenant, then all of the land shall be destroyed by the fire of his jealousy. In the Old Testament, the signs of God, whether it was a pillar of the cloud which led the Israelites through Egypt, or whether it was that pillar of fire, whether it was this manifestation today, there were signs of his presence with his people. In the Old Testament, that was how it was. In the New Testament, though, manifestations of God are more than just signs of his presence. By these manifestations, God desires not just to show that he is present, but to sanctify those who he comes to sanctify us. The fire which descended upon the apostles was not a fire which was to destroy, but it was a fire which was to transform their souls. It was to transform them into what? The fire was going to transform everything that it touched into itself. God desired great things for those in the upper room. And in the same way, God desires great things for our souls. He desires to exalt your soul and my soul to a greater dignity. He desires to turn our souls, to touch our souls in a way to transform them, to make them like unto him, to raise us up to a new nature. Christ said in the book, in the Gospel of St. Luke, I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I long to see it burn. This is not a destructive fire. This is that burning fire of love which he desires all of us have inside of our hearts. And this is why he came upon the earth, and this is why he sent the Consoler to fill our hearts with this burning fire. And he longs for it. He says, how I long to see it burn with love. And St. Paul says that God is a consuming fire of love that transforms everything that it touches into itself. We can think about St. Peter and think about how weak he was the night that our Lord was betrayed, how he wasn't willing even to stand up to a servant who questioned that he, who said that he was a follower of Christ. He wasn't even able, he didn't even have the courage to say yes to a simple servant. But now, after the descent of the Holy Ghost upon him, what does he do? He goes out in front of thousands of people and he preaches to them without any fear. He says, this Christ whom you crucified, he's not afraid of anything anymore. He's not afraid of giving his life for Christ. Why? Because he has been transformed by the fire of the Holy Ghost, by his divine love. So God said, or St. Paul says, that God is a consuming fire which transforms everything that he touches into himself. How then does God touch us? He touches us most significantly through the sacraments. First, the sacrament of baptism. This is kind of the first time that he touches our souls, and he makes us like unto himself in an image, the image of him. And we can be restored to this through the sacrament of confession, perfected through confirmation, and especially then through the sacrament of his great love, the Holy Eucharist. All of these sacraments lead up, though, to the sacrament of holy orders, the priesthood, which is, in a way, the source of it, right? All of these graces and all of these sacraments ultimately come through the priesthood. This is how God reaches down and touches us, through those whom he has raised to holy orders. But these are the touches. This is the most significant way we are touched by God. We should always remember that the way in which the Holy Ghost works in our lives is very similar, but it also is a little bit different than on Pentecost Sunday. On Pentecost, there was this great breeze, this great wind, and then the tremendous infusion of grace by God into those who were there. For us, very few of us is it this way. It's a gradual thing where we slowly, day by day, receive the graces which God desires to give to us. Day by day, one act of love after the next, gradually we become the recipients of this grace God wants to give to us. Elijah was told by God in the Old Testament to go up to a mountain and to find him. He went there and there was a great wind, but God wasn't there. There was a storm, he wasn't there. There was an earthquake and he wasn't there. And then there came a gentle breeze. And it was in this gentle breeze that the presence of God was found. We all have this gentle breeze working in our lives all the time. We become accustomed to it so much that we forget that it's present. We forget that it's there. And maybe that which we are being inspired to do, because it is always present, we begin to ignore. We begin to set aside. Let's not do that. Let's be attentive to what these inspirations are that the Holy Ghost is trying to give to us. Listen carefully. Listen carefully to the gentle breeze, because for most of us, it's not a great blast of wind in which we find God's will for us. It's in the gentle breeze, which is always there, which is always tugging at our hearts. Think about conclusion. The words that a holy French priest said, it was about a couple hundred years ago. He addressed these words to Mary Magdalene after the fact. Remember on Easter Sunday, how she looked for Christ everywhere. She went and told the holy women that our Lord had risen and the apostles. She comes back and she goes into the tomb and she sees the two angels standing there and she asks them what has happened to the body of our Lord. She walks out of the sepulcher and she sees who she thinks is a gardener, who is actually Christ, and she asks him if he knows where they've laid the body. To this Mary Magdalene, who is in pursuit of Christ, this priest gives her these words. He says to her, and he says to us, if we listen to this gentle breeze of the Holy Ghost, he can say this to us as well. He says, no longer ask for the Master among those who are on earth or those who are in heaven, because he dwells in you and you in him. God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.